Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, July 19th, 2013. You can find this awesome podcast on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Stitcher, and nothing else.
So this week's episode, we're going to debate solo content versus group content. So it's fun. Because I may or may not have done a couple ops this week. But before we dive into the SOTOR talk, Marcus, did you go on vacation? I think you did. Did you play any video games while you were there, or did you just lounge on the beach like a fucking...
Beached whale?
I was going to say a hut, but I couldn't think of a hut fast enough. So beached whale it is. What'd you do?
Well, I was on fucking vacation, you knew that. I mean, come on. I mean, goddamn. I, like, text you while I'm on vacation, and you're like, dickhead, I'm in class. Still.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get summers off. Anyway, yeah, I was definitely on vacation. Put it this way. Close your eyes. Picture basketball shorts, sandals, and Star Wars t-shirts. That was my attire for a week.
That sounds like the ideal wardrobe for us.
And also, so, is it wrong that I drank a case of beer by Wednesday?
So, no, that's awesome.
So, but that's the thing. Like, you know, Carrie's like, I can't believe you drank so much beer. And I'm like, the fuck do you mean? I had one at lunch.
Yeah.
I had one at snack time.
What's snack time? Like 3 or 4 o'clock?
Like 2:30.
Yeah,
2.
Yeah.
And then like I had one or two at dinner and then maybe like one at night. So like,
but that's like 4 beers
yeah.
a day. Yes. All spread out. So you're never like hammered, but you're just drinking a beer all day.
Right.
So, well, not all day. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so like...
So, but that's 4 beers a day. 24. That's
times five.
Yeah, that's...
It's a case of beer.
Plus or minus a little extra one because they tasted good. And boom, case is gone by Wednesday.
Yeah, so thank God we had some guests and they brought some emergency DEFCON 5 Treehouse beer. So
what up?
I had beer for the rest of the week.
That's sweet. Oh, yeah. Mi padre came up there. My dad. For those of you that don't speak a lot of Spanish. I'm taking a Spanish class right now, so I've got
so
Spanish.
So you just want to be extra fucking cool?
No.
And talk about Spanish?
I speak Spanish at, like, a first grader level. I can, like, barely order food at a restaurant. Like, I can read it okay. You know, emphasis on okay. I can, you know, understand what people are speaking as long as they're not speaking crazy fast like Mariana's family does. But then I'm okay. But when I try to generate the words myself, it's like Tarzan language. It's like, I eat
like,
food.
All right. So anyways, I drank a bunch of awesome beer, but I was never drunk. FYI, I was never drunk. I just had a constant tasty beer in my hand. Anyway, moving on. But I did like cook some crazy food because, you know, I work so much. So anytime I get an opportunity to cook, I cooked. Most of the week I did the dishes. If I said I did them all, which is pretty much true, my wife would be like,
Fuck you. I did
it twice out of 3 meals a day times 7 days. Like, actually, it was like 9 days. But anyway.
Yeah.
But it was good to come home. But you never realize how much you miss something until it's gone.
Oh, right.
So I was there. I had my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I deleted SOTOR off of it.
Dun dun dun! I can't believe that. I didn't even know that till he just said it right now.
Well, I didn't want to play
to do the same thing you do at home all the time while you're on
vacation. Right? Because my wife goes to bed at fucking 9 o'clock at night, right. And I'm sitting on my thumbs, going, "What do I do now?"
Right?
I'll just play SOTOR, so it'll be like no relaxation. I'll be up until midnight every day.
Yeah, and then get up at six or whatever.
With
the kid.
Right, exactly. So I went and so I downloaded Minecraft.
Oh my god.
And
can I just say something? I don't know what he's going to say about Minecraft in the show notes here, but his obsession with Minecraft has reached a whole new level.
Why?
I came down, so you had the one book, it was like, okay, the general strategy guide or whatever BS. And then I come over today and out of his backpack from vacation, he's pulling not one additional book, not two additional books, a third one, and a fourth one. I'm like, are you kidding me? He got the whole, like, collector's encyclopedia of Minecraft ins and outs. He might be able to code his own Minecraft server by the end of reading all those. It's a little ridiculous. Wait a minute. Yeah, it's $5 total. So it's the original guide and four other ones that
Fuck
I saw.
Fuck off. All right? So when I'm on vacation, I like to read. And I like to read interesting shit. So why not read about Minecraft? So
it's a fair point.
But believe it or not, I only played like two nights, maybe three.
Yep.
But one night I played until like 2:30 in the morning. Because I found lava for the first time, and I was like, where are the diamonds? I didn't find any diamonds, and then
yeah.
All of a sudden I got, like, attacked by, like, 50 spiders and these zombie blockheads. It's a, you know, Dent was right. It's a complete time sink.
Yeah.
It's super fun to play. When I'm home, I don't play it. So right. It's kind of like one of those things that's like a filler. So okay. If I need a break, you know, I have, I still have Detroit Become Human to play.
Oh my god, I forgot all about that game. I haven't played it either.
I have it.
You have it for your PS4?
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck? I'll play it.
I bought a digital copy.
Oh.
It's the biggest fail ever. If you own a console, you should buy discs.
I completely agree.
And that's because then, you know, because you still may go over to your friend's house once in a while, or somebody may have it and they can borrow the game. If you have a digital copy, they can't borrow it.
Right.
Unless you do a Steam share or something, but whatever. Anyway, moving past that. So I played a little Minecraft, but by Wednesday,
yep.
That would be my sup team ops night.
Right.
I was scratching. I looked like a crackhead walking down the street.
Like the Dave Chappelle sketch.
Yeah, exactly.
Got any more of them?
Yeah.
So tours.
Yeah. And so I started going on Twitch all the time, watching people's streams and stuff. And I got to a point where I was like messaging people, hey, are you streaming tonight or what? And you know what I mean? Because I just needed that fit.
You had the itch.
Exactly. But it ended up working out. And one of the nights, the last night, Saturday night, I think, Friday or Saturday night, Dr. Sotor's Utini team,
yep.
They went, they were doing Gods from the Machine. So I basically watched them do the whole op the one night. And then they went back the next night to kill Skyva and Isaacs. Okay. So I got to watch it two nights in a row. It was super sweet.
How long does that op take?
A while.
Like 3 hours?
No. If you know the fights, it probably takes two.
Okay.
Two and a half.
If you don't have to explain it. Like, if you took my noob ass through it.
We wouldn't beat it.
Okay. Because I would have no idea what to do. I'd probably
There's
die.
Way too much involved. You're not ready for that.
Okay.
Anyway.
We'll get to my op experience later.
So, vacation ended with Beer Beach Lake... Daughter, wife, burgers.
That's the... There's some bees in there that sounded great. And some,
all the bees are all good. Beers, bit... Beers, burgers, and beach. So
you
anyway.
Can say bitches, but it's a little derogatory towards your wife and
no,
daughter.
I wouldn't say that. So, like, unless I was talking about my dog. But anyway.
Right.
But I did get some super sweet time with my dog because, you know, while my daughter was napping, I would walk down to the lake.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
there's this rock that's in the middle of the lake, and I just sat there and sunbathed. So right, I literally yeah. looked like a seal sitting on a rock.
See, I was going to say Luke meditating, you know,
no.
channeling himself with the Force on no. that island there, but.
No. Anyway.
I guess the more accurate.
Yeah, so I got to hang out with my dog a ton.
That's cool.
But that was good. So in game, Sunday night when I came back. So I got home 3 hours before we ran, but Carrie's like,
okay.
Oh, are you going to do ops tonight? I'm like, the door was already closed to my office. See you
right.
later.
Right.
Good seeing you. See you in another week. So we got the team together. We needed a couple fill-ins, which was great, but we did Evie and KP.
What is KP?
Karaga's Palace. You haven't been there yet. Not anyway, yet. So we did those. It was fun. And it was a nice, easy run back into it. For fun feeling Mondays, we took a mega noob to EV, i.e. Nick.
Nudge, nudge.
And my favorite part, we're going to discuss later, but all I'm going to say is a precursor to what happened. Nick took a long fall when he met Soa. So then, Tuesday, I joined the my AIE peeps.
Yep.
We did mandatory fun night, and we killed the golden poodle for conquest points, and then we mostly just hung out. But I got to be on the Escape podcast with Max and Seema.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. We were talking about the Mega Event. So Mega stands for Monthly Epic Group Activities. The next event is next Friday, which is July 27th, from 9 to 11 p.m. on the StarForge server, Eastern time, I should say. And it's on the Republic side. And we're doing a Datacron run, which I've only had. I only personally have two Datacrons, so you're going to watch me fail a lot, and the rest of the guildies kind of carrying my unexperienced ass through it. So I'm hosting it, but pretty much somebody else is going to end up taking over, or it's going to just be a giant fail. So either it's going to be a win or a fail, you want to be there. Yeah. Plus, there's a super secret, top secret trivia question that I'm giving away, and I'm giving away a 60-day sub.
Whoa.
Did you hear that, Nick?
60-day sub?
60.
6-0.
Not 30.
Not 30.
Not 45.
Holy shit.
60-day sub.
He don't play no games.
Nope. And if you message me on Twitter, at MarcusB814, I'll give you a hint.
Sweet.
Yep. So I did that, and then last night with the Wednesday night sub team, we had a couple people out. So I dragged Nick's bitch ass with us, and we actually went back to EV again. But
I did not die the second time, I will say.
No, you didn't. And then we went and saw Dreadtooth, which was pretty sweet because it's a world boss that I never beat before. And I guess there's some thing where if he has 10 stacks, it's a crazy achievement and loot you get. He only had one stack when we were fighting him. But then we went over to the PvP instance, and the
some Republic people.
Yeah, I came over and we had to kill them while we were killing the boss. It was pretty much fun. So
the Republic people did not last long at all. There was like one dude in like ten of us, I think. So
right,
he was causing mayhem for all of like 10 seconds. We mercolated him. It was
mercolated.
It was pretty satisfying.
Yeah, it was pretty satisfying. So I also talked to a couple friends in Discord. And I kind of asked them what they thought about the PTS and, the changes to it. And I got some interesting responses. So, I'm just... Fire Ash said he did a Huppo match, and it had lots of lag, and half the time it got stun-locked. So, nothing really to report. But he loved the new Stronghold. Soulstar said he didn't get to get many pops when he was on the PTS, but he did get a match that was live-streamed and got melted by Snave. So, Snave's a Twitch streamer.
Yep.
I
figured.
Yeah. But he also got one pop and for the new arena, so he hasn't gotten a real opinion about it yet. Mm-hmm. That was from Soulstar. And there was one more. Medulla said he didn't get a chance to try it out, too many matches and no ranks, but overall he liked the general changes. And poor Scrubland, he's been waiting for his furniture to get to his new house because he moved. He doesn't have his computer. So he's hasn't gotten to try it. But I have played in the Stronghold, but I have not done any of the PvP changes. I think I'll wait until it goes live. I don't really have any interest in,
Yeah, you don't do a lot of PvP anyway, right? So you don't have a lot to compare it
no,
to?
No, we don't have anything to compare it to. Because I never really do
PvP.
Yeah. So, other than that... Alright, so in Discord, everybody here uses Discord, or mostly, right?
Yeah, of course.
So there's bots.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Similar to Reddit bots, if you're familiar with those.
No, so I don't know anything about the Reddit bots.
Well, I do, and I'm saying they're motherfucking the same thing.
All right, did you know Medulla? He's like the Reddit, the SOTOR Reddit, like, highest ranked person in all of Reddit last year?
On the rSOTOR subreddit?
I think everything, or maybe the...
Probably SOTOR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the highest ranked guy.
He has the most karma?
I don't know. My karma is negative 11.
What, did you comment once it got downloaded into oblivion?
Yes. Because I said marauders are nice.
That's wicked funny.
No, it's not. It's fucking terrible.
That's awesome. I think I have like plus, 10 or 15,000 karma.
Yeah, they don't like me.
Well, you only said one thing and it was douchey. That's not Marauders douchey. Are not nice.
Yes, they
They're
are.
Just terrible people, and they always die in ops. Deep breaths.
Anyway, so back to this whole bot thing. So, you know, there's the music bot, which I like. And then there's, believe it or not, there's this rank bot, which it tells you the most messed up times that you leveled up. And, and so we'll be in this heated discussion about something. They'll be like, oh, Nick Vern, you leveled up to level one. And you're like, fuck you, bot. You got in my way. So then somebody decides to put the dad bot in one of the things. So anytime you say I'm, so if you said, I'm really hungry, then the thing says, the dad
hi, really hungry. I'm dad.
Yeah, hi, really hungry. I'm dad. So this, and every time you do something, somehow, some way, this fucking dad bot comes out with some bullshit.
Yes, every time you say the word I'm, it'll take whatever text is past the word I'm, paste it and say, hi, I'm, hi, you know, whatever the fuck you said.
And dad.
I'm dad.
So
it'll reply immediately after your comment every single time.
Right. So when you're in a discussion and you're like, I'm really fucking pissed. And he's like, hi, really fucking pissed. I'm dad. And you're like, fuck off, dad. You know? Yeah. So one of the guys said they should make a your mom bot.
Oh, that'd be good too.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's my rant. Nick, well, I know you've been busy because you've been rolling with me. So what have you been doing?
So, I played my first full op, which, you know, I played half on op before, with Marcus on Fun Feeling Mondays this week, which was absolutely awesome. We did the Eternity Vault op, which was really cool. It was cool because I'd finally finished my class story. Like, the first time I did the Terror from Beyond op, I hadn't finished my class story, so I didn't really know if it tied into anything. But Eternity Vault, at least from what I gathered, seems to work pretty well once you've finished your class story, at least as a Sith warrior. You just give it a mission, hey, some shit, we found this temple, blah blah blah, there's some scary shit inside, can you help us, you know, conquer it? So that was really cool. I may or may not have fell to my, wow, Marcus just sent me a picture of some wicked awesome artwork. It's Luke in his pilot outfit
in front of an
AT-AT. Yeah. That's awesome. But anyways, so I fell to my death twice. I don't want to talk about it.
whoa, let's fucking talk about it. Well, first of all, so Nick going in, he doesn't really understand. So, you know, the first fight in EV, everybody knows, you know, you got to get underneath the bot, and then you got to watch out for the circles. He fucking died.
No, that was the second time.
No, the first time you played it, you died. Because I was like, oh, and there he goes. You were like, oh, I shouldn't have stood in the circles.
yeah.
No, I remember.
Yeah.
So anyways, but bringing you was great. And then you fighting Garge, you landed in the lava a couple times.
Yep. I did not die from the lava, though.
No, because there was good healers.
Yeah, but I got mega damage done because I did touch the lava a couple times.
But then we made you do the puzzle, which was sweet.
Yep. I was the turner, which I could handle that properly. Not the turner, but like, you know, you switch the circular pylon things so that all the symbols match up.
Yeah.
I did that, which was cool. And then the final boss was particularly difficult for Marcus. So I don't know what happened exactly, but three of us, myself included, of course, fell to our deaths right at when you get to the bottom of that arena when you're fighting Soa. So it was Marcus, a healer, a tank, and two other DPSs. So I think it was five people because three of us were dead. We had eight.
No, so it was two tanks.
Oh, sorry, two tanks.
Two healers. No, it was one tank, one and two DPS and two healers.
Yeah.
So thank God we had the two healers. Oh, no, it was maybe four people died.
Maybe four people died. I don't remember, but there was not a lot of you. It was like only three. I don't think there were five. I think another person died too and could get revived. So it might have, I think it was only like four of you or something like that.
But it was tough.
But yeah, the group of us got him. I think it was started with five and you guys got him down to 15%. Or something like that by the time we got to the bottom of the arena. And then there was like only three of you or something like that. And you got from 15% down to zero. You actually beat him, which was impressive. Because in that fight, you know, you get the, what's it called? The mind trap. So it takes away a character, you know, every 30 seconds or whatever.
Right. But he enraged, but thank God we had two healers because they basically, I mean, when he enrages, I mean, you can survive if you have healers.
Yeah.
And we had two of them. So it was great.
Yeah, that worked out well. So that was really cool.
It was the first time I like actually did a whole op, 100%, start to finish. So for the game day update here, the show day update, I've been reading listening to.
Wait a minute.
What?
Did you forget about what the fuck you did last night?
Oh shit! Yes, I did. I forgot to add it to my notes. So I played EV again last night for.
It was the group finder, so he came with us again.
Yeah, I went on the sup raid team. I filled in as a DPS. The first thing we did was EV, and I did not die in the whole thing.
You're a fucking failure.
Dude, well, sorry. If I don't write it down, it didn't happen.
All right.
But I did the...
Is that kind of like if it's not screenshot, it's not real?
Yeah, pretty much. All right. If it doesn't get on my calendar, it's not a plan.
All right.
Because I'm just a space cadet. But... yeah, we did EV last night. That, you know, that was my second time through, so I knew to, you know, suck less, don't hit the lava and stuff, so I didn't die.
You died at all.
No, I didn't die at all, but I did die when we fought the world boss. So we did EV, and then we had some extra time left, so we went and to try and kill, what's his name? Something Tooth?
Dreadtooth,
sorry. We killed him, but I died in the process, of killing Dreadtooth, and then we also went to kill the Golden Poodle afterwards, and I died doing that somehow. I was assigned the role of killing the two droids that are not the Golden Poodle in that fight, and somehow they killed me in like within 10 seconds. I don't know what the hell I did wrong, but
you were just standing in a circle.
Yeah, I did something, but
you're doing good because, you know, I mean, just being thrown into an ops is not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, doing EV and stuff, but, I mean, your first time you went to Terror from Beyond and that fucking...
That was intense.
Yeah. Well, your first time and you went to the 16, man, so...
Yeah, I went... The first time I did... I kind of already talked about this, but... The first time I went from level 23 to level 70 into the Terror from Beyond, like, all within the span of, like, 5 minutes.
Right.
But... So, outside of game stuff, but still within the realm of SOTOR... I've been listening to the SOTOR books that come sort of give some backstory before the game itself. So I listened to Fatal Alliance first. That was really cool.
It's a cool one, but I don't see the connection to maybe once I do all the class stories, I'll find that connection because the only, you know, Satele Shan is in it and that's...
I'm assuming she's in the Jedi side at some point.
Well, she's right at the end. Like I
haven't done the Jedi story yet.
Well, yes, she's the Jedi. She's the Jedi Master, so you'll see
she's
her.
Yeah, she's like the head of the council in the book anyway, so I'm assuming she's probably still the head of the council
in the game. Yeah, so, you know, that's Jedi really council. The only tie-in to the game.
Yeah.
But the book is cool. What do they say? I do not respect your authority.
We do not, yeah, exactly, the droids. It was a cool book, but I'm not sure how it relates to the game a lot. Then I finished Revan yesterday, actually, which was awesome. I really liked that because it ties exactly into the Jedi Knight story. So I haven't played that yet, which I'm going to now. You know, the Jedi Knight class story, because it's like, spoiler alert, if you haven't read the book, fast forward like a minute. But it leads you into saying like, okay, Revan's waiting for his Jedi champion to defeat the Emperor. So it's like, okay, you know, your character is going to be that guy that goes and defeats the Emperor eventually. But which I'm kind of hoping. That would make sense, because I think I read somewhere that the Sith Warrior class story... You people listening probably already know this, but it's new for me. The Sith Warrior class story comes after the Jedi Knight class story, and in the Sith Warrior story, people keep remarking about how the Emperor's missing, and maybe dead, but it gets hush-hushed if you say that he's dead. So I'm thinking maybe you kill him as a Jedi Knight, which would be pretty fucking awesome. I don't know how the fuck you do that, though, because he's some crazy powerful dude. And consumed a whole world. Nathema.
Right, so are you kind of burnt out on your Juggernaut class story? Because I know you said you were on Makeb, but are you burnt out on it?
No, because I finished the class story, obviously, because I'm in Makeb now. But reading the book about Revan and stuff, I like want to see where that goes a little bit.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I made a character for the Jedi Knight. It's the Jedi Guardian, I think. It's whatever the equivalent of a Juggernaut is.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I haven't, like, done anything with it yet. But I'm just, I want to see where that story goes. But I definitely want to finish all the expansions with my Juggernaut first.
Sure.
And I just started Deceive today, which is pretty sweet. It follows Malagus.
You actually started it?
Yeah, I'm on chapter 3, I think.
So the attack happened?
Fuck yeah. He myrtleated all the Jedis. The Jedi Master, I forgot his name.
So yeah.
Something with a Z, I think. Or...
That book is unbelievable.
I like it a lot. But
we'll talk about it again when you...
Finish it?
We'll get more into it, because it actually, like... It shows what true dark side power is throughout the book, because you'll see. I don't want to spoil it.
It was cool to see Scourge in Revan too. Like, his dark side stuff going on, it was cool. But
yeah.
Anyways, we can talk about it more once I finish the set.
So if all of this sounds awesome, mm-hmm. you can go to aie-guild.org and get our Discord information and pop in and get a guild invite and come play with me and now Nick. It sounds better saying that.
Yeah.
Not just come play with me, but come play with us.
Yeah, us.
Wow.
We can use a new pronoun. A whole new pronoun.
Wow. Come play with us on the Starforge server in AIE. And if you're in Sateel Shan, you can play with the Utini guys. It works out perfect. Real quick, shout out to Dr. Sotor.
Yeah.
Congrats on the new co-host of Utini. I know they're recording tonight, so congrats and good luck, man. Also, too, so aie-guild.org, and you can get our Discord information and then look for an officer channel or jump in the SOTOR and ask for somebody for a guild invite, because I would love to have you come join us next Friday for the mega event and get some Datacrons, or just come hang out with me or Nick and have some fun. In SOTOR news... So the PTS is going strong, with the Rishi Stronghold as a hit and the changes to PvP. So, Nick, as of 7/13, so July 13th, a few days ago, they did a patch on the PTS, basically some Warzone and arena changes. Voidstar is once again functional. I guess it was broken. Railings and line of sight blockers have been added to the Mandalorian Battle Ring to make the map more melee friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess BioWare really hates melee. They say they don't, but the things they do really
screw over melee players.
Yeah, screw us over. But I guess
it kind of makes sense, because aren't like 6 out of the 8 classes not melee? I know the.
Well, kind of.
I don't know what.
Well, the Jedi Counselor, there is a melee class for the Counselor. Yeah. And the Operative on the Imp side and, like, the Gunslinger or the Scoundrel is melee. Because you shoot and, like, stabby with a knife.
Okay.
So, but either way, they don't really like it. But I guess, how much can you do? I'm just going to bring it to Ops, because you got to drop circles on the ground, so you can't not drop them around the boss.
Right.
So to fuck the melee, don't just screw the bounty hunter standing in the back going pew, 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 you know?
Right.
Or in, I guess in, but in PvP, yeah, it should be friendly for everybody, because I know my Marauder hits hard, but the...
Punishment you get on the way in.
Right, close. But if I can't line of sight somebody, so when they come around the corner, I get it, you know, then I can just get myrtleated from 30 or 50 meters away by a bounty hunter or sniper or something.
I guess.
Players should no longer die randomly when using traversal abilities near terrain in Warzone and arenas. Well, I fucking hope not.
What the fuck? That's weird.
Yeah, but it's a PTS, right? So it's a test server, so it's meant to be broken.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they fix various issues related to matchmaking, which is not fucking true. So, this is speaking from what I've seen on the Twit.
Yep.
The Twitter.
Twitter.
And.
The Google.
And I've talked to other guildies, and like I said, I've read some stuff. But people are saying that it's not fixed. The one match my buddy got into, he was like, oh, I had 4 DPS and the other one had 2 healers and 2 tanks. So, like, clearly they still need to work on the matchmaking.
Right.
But the hard part about SOTOR is, and I guess it's the same as Call of Duty with matchmaking.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty, you're not picking a specific class.
Right.
You're picking your class, quote-unquote, loadout once you're in game. Oh, you have seven different loadouts, so if you want to be a medic or battlefield,
yeah.
You don't pick it until you're in the match.
Right.
So you could get in there and everybody wants to be infantry.
Oh, right.
You know, and no medic.
Right.
And yeah, the team may hurt, but they may just dominate. Where in SOTOR, they want you to have a healer, a tank, and two DPS.
Right.
If it's a four-man arena.
Right.
So how can... It's really hard. And then what if there's only, you know, and I'm being facetious, what if there's only 100 people queuing for
PvP?
Yeah, PvP. Thanks. I brain fart.
And all of them are DPS or something
like that. Or two of them are healers. Well, obviously, at some point, somebody's match is going to be
4v4 DPS.
Exactly. Or four DPS and the other team's three DPS and one healer.
Right.
You know, so
right.
I don't know how they make those algorithms work to make the matchmaking better. I'm sure they could get better. But at the same time, I would much rather play, even if it's a little imbalanced, mm-hmm. and get the queue to pop versus sit around an extra 10 minutes and wait for an extra healer or a tank to sign in.
Right.
You know? But again, we won't know any of that stuff.
Until it goes live, pretty much.
Exactly. You know, it said the interactable objects in the world will once again highlight blue. Well, that's obvious.
Yeah, of course.
And Granada the Hutt and Bear Deathmark will no longer take damage from sudden death acid.
Huh.
Whatever the fuck that means. What do you think? Nick, have you seen the new Rishi hideout?
I haven't seen it at all yet.
All right, so while I'm talking about it, you should Google that shit.
Okay, so ignore any and all keyboard sounds.
So, there's a, you know, the place is huge, man. And I don't think we talked about it too much on the last episode with Sakari.
Mm-hmm.
It's really big, giant, and I'm not crazy about like strongholds and stuff, but mm-hmm. as like a guild stronghold, it's pretty rad. Totally, totally, totally awesome. It's okay. Huge. You have your own ship, like a sky ship up top that has a giant PvP arena you can do. There's small PvP arenas. There's caves, you know, all these things for you to decorate.
Yeah.
But for events, I think it's going to be great. I think we're going to, you know, people use it for a month, and then it'll just kind of be just another feature of the game.
Yeah.
Kind of like the flavor of the week.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing they did put in the new stronghold, so let's say you and I are doing... you and I are doing a one versus one dueling match.
Yeah.
Somebody else can come in and like be a invisible droid and like walk around us and watch us duel each other. Oh, so almost like spectator mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And be able to watch, or if we're doing a hutball match and it's like 4v4, 8x8, or 10x10, whatever the event is.
Yeah.
Like, we can be spectators and, like, actually watch them do the moves and all that stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I think is pretty sweet because,
yeah,
you know, then you feel more immersed in it and you kind of want to do it. But...
That is cool.
Yeah.
So you can come... So, like, say we're doing a hutball match and it's 4v4 or something, but it's, like, happens to be on, like, a Wednesday night or something. So, like, extra people can come in.
Well, right.
And watch the...
Yes.
You know, the raid... Raid team or something like that.
Or if we do a tournament.
Yeah, or a tournament. This place is huge.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. So, it looks really fun. It's going to be really expensive to unlock everything.
Yeah.
But once you do, I guess... Again, I think it's more of a guild stronghold, in my opinion, rather than a personal one. So, anyways... I'm really looking forward for game update 5.9.2 to go live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the PTS is cool, but...
You want to see the legit...
Yeah, once I can get into it for real, that's when I'll really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Over the weekend while I was on vacation, they did some play/stress tests on it. Which, you know, anytime you're doing a group content update... I think a stress test is really good because you want to see how the servers are going to handle it, how are your changes going to handle it.
Yeah, because you can get a lot of complicated moves happening and graphic demands and all that stuff.
Right. So over the earlier in the week, I asked some people, as well as some of the guildies and stuff, what they thought. And everybody seemed to like the changes. The only complaint that I've really gotten is the matchmaking still isn't wonderful.
Right.
excuse me, as we said, you know, a tank and three DPS are still going against two healer or three healers and a DPS, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard, and I understand the matchmaking problems, but they're doing what they can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to the game update. So this is like hot off the press yesterday, I think. Nick, do you want to read?
Sure.
So
from There Are Changes. So this week, BioWare announced a major change coming to the existing Cartel market reputations. In game update 5.9.2, all current Cartel market reputations will be merged into a single reputation, the Underworld Exchange. This includes the Contraband Resale Corporation, the Bounty Supply Company, Interplanetary Component Exchange, Binary Star Realty, Feebooters Trade Union, S-Tren Exports, and progress earned towards the existing reputations will get applied to the new reputation. As Eric Musco pointed out, if you are legend right now in any CM Cartel Market rep, you will be a legend in Underworld Exchange. If you are champion in two of the reps, those values will be combined and could even rank you up. If you're someone like me who has reached the legend status with some, but not all, of the Cartel Market reputations, this is good news. You will now have the reputation status to purchase any item available for sale from the Cartel Market reputation vendors. You will only be gated by currency, which continues to be Cartel Market certificates. They will now be rare drop from the packs. If you have access to the Contraband slot machine, you can win reputation tokens that will advance your Underworld Exchange reputation. Currently, it drops reputation tokens for the Contraband Resale Corporation. So, that sounds pretty sweet.
So, yeah, I kind of like it. So, it's going to just basically combine all of your reps, so it'll be easier to rank up your rep.
Yeah.
And kind of just make it a little more streamlined.
That's pretty sweet.
For me, that's big because, you know, you have this rep and that rep and this rep and that rep. And now you can... Every time you get one, it just goes to that, and you earn your ranking.
Then that seems a lot more simple.
I think so, at least. Well, for sure. Want to take a break?
Yeah. We'll be right back. And we're back. So today, we're discussing solo content versus group content in SOTOR. Without further ado, let's go over which of the two game types we prefer and why. So, Marcus, which do you prefer?
It's hard to say, so I'm split. I should rephrase. I prefer group content, for sure.
Yep.
Now that I do it, I prefer it, because it's mostly what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love solo content.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much in SOTOR,
mm-hmm.
but I do love solo content in other games.
I hear ya.
But the SOTOR solo content, I mean, the class stories are so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just diving into it. I'm just about done with my third or my fourth class story, and I love it. But, I like the group feeling in it.
Of, like, working together with other real people.
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So, for me, I'm just scratching the surface of group content in SOTOR, but, you know, it's all... you know, take my answer with a grain of salt, I guess, but I prefer solo content for sure. So I'm in other games, you know, in the Fallout games, Skyrim, in even Shadow of War, and Shadow of Mordor, that series, the Middle Earth series. I'm really big into, like, the lore. I like getting immersed in a whole universe that's fleshed out with lots of, you know, history and stuff like that. Like in the Shadow of War and Shadow of Mordor, you have all of the Lord of the Rings background for that game, you know, in Fallout and in Skyrim. You have all the Elder Scrolls, you know, background and all of the Fallout background, the alternate history of the U.S. and stuff like that. So there's a big universe in all those games. That's something I super duper like. So Star Wars obviously has probably the biggest lore universe of them all. So I'm really into the solo content that dives into that. That's kind of why I'm really enjoying the books now too. But the group content has, you know, is a good argument to be made because you get story content at the same time. It's not as in depth, but it's story content nonetheless. And you get the fulfillment of, like, accomplishing a goal with other people that you could not do by yourself otherwise. You know, like, all these bosses, obviously, you could never take on solo.
No, it's meant...
It's meant to be in a group. And you need coordination and communication with the other people, which I think is really, really cool.
Right.
So, my question becomes, even though the group content is so fulfilling, which you like it, I've liked the you know, 2.5 ops that I've done, and, you know, the couple flashpoints, why do you think more people in the game are doing solo content than there are group content? Because I know only, like, I think a statistic you had from a previous podcast was, like, 2% or something like that of all SWTOR players are doing ops.
Yeah.
So why do you think that is?
I think fear.
Yeah.
Escapism. Because, like you said, you like to immerse yourself into it. And I find sometimes when I sign in, if I'm on my main or one of my... I pretty much have three mains that I run.
Yeah.
If I'm on one of those three and, you know, Joe Smith or Jane Doe say, see me pop on, and they need a fill-in, they're going to say, oh, shit, we'll ask Marcus to come run because most likely he'll come.
Right.
You know, so it's the interruption
that
I get.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're like, all right, I'm going to do my story class.
Well, and then it happens all the time. Blink,
Hey, want to come on this up? And you're like,
And then I end up saying yes.
Yeah.
Because being an ops... See, for you saying no, it doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
But as an ops leader, you want to help out as many people as I can.
Right.
And I do. That's kind of my personality anyway. But I want to be able to say yes because someday when I'm down a DPS and I see blah, blah, blah online and I ask him and he's enjoying story content.
Right.
He's going to say,
You know what? He came out for me one time.
2 months ago, he saved our ass and he helped us and he died a bunch because he's a marauder. But, you know.
Right. Should have picked a juggernaut.
Exactly.
Whatever.
So now he's willing to come with me.
Right.
You know, where if you're just like, no, sorry, bro. He's going to be like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to jump in when he needs it, when I'm enjoying my story. So
sure.
It's kind of one hand washes the other. But sometimes it does get tiring because, you know, I do want to finish my class stories, but I feel like I'm constantly doing group content.
Right.
The stream of doing all the class stories as much as I want to, I think I would have to do it and not be in guild to do it because I feel like I would...
Get sucked in quickly.
Or tell anybody my true name and... You know, make myself invisible on Discord and, you know, kind of hide in the corner and just play. Shh.
Yeah.
I'm not playing, so I'm playing Minecraft. Somehow falsify Discord to say I'm playing Minecraft and I'm not playing, I'm playing Star Wars.
Right,
you know?
right.
But I think for the most part it's escapism.
Yeah.
And people don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, I agree. It depends what you're looking for. Like, take me for example. A lot of times, I'll get out of school or whatever, do what I gotta do, homework and you know, various life stuff. And then, you know, by the time dinner ends, I have a few hours to myself. And I would be like, alright, it's time to relax. I want to play group content because I've been talking to people all day. You know what I mean? I've been interacting with other people, you know, doing different stuff with other people. It's like, alright, I'm just gonna be by myself with my game, getting away from reality for a couple hours.
You want to escape.
Yeah, so like from that, you know, say 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, that's great. I think it's a lot, what I'm getting at is I think it's a lot easier to do group content if you can also do solo content. You know what I mean? Because I think everybody needs that time to decompress their brain a little bit.
Yeah.
And just not think about reality for a while.
Right.
And then if, you know, come a couple hours later, 9 o'clock rolls around, and hey, it's time to go do the raid, your raid team stuff. Then I think it's easier to do group content if it's scheduled.
Right.
But when it interrupts your solo content, it's definitely disruption.
I want to say I enjoy the solo content, but I'm such a social butterfly.
Yeah.
Like, I love to chat. And I'll tell you, you run with some of these people for a year.
Yeah, 2 years. You're like excited to talk to your friends.
You know, my wife doesn't get it. She doesn't, and most people don't get it.
Yeah.
They're like, how can some dude online...
I didn't get it until I started. Yeah. I've only run 2 ops, so I can't imagine running with the same people for years like you have.
Right.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, one of our ops team members, he's in this crazy rock band, and like, they're like a legit rock band. I say he's like Bieber's backup guitarist. But,
oh, yeah.
But, you know.
You don't want to blow up his spot, but it's who you set the picture of in the group chat today.
Yeah, exactly. He's got Bieber fever, you know what I mean? And he gets so pissed because he's in a complete rock and roll band, and I'm fucking shitting all over him.
Yeah.
Telling him he's got Bieber fever. But, like, these people, are, you know, everybody has a real life.
Right.
And, you know, some of these people I'm closer to than my own personal friends that I see, you know.
In real life.
In
yeah.
real life.
Right.
You know,
right.
because it's, you know, brings me back to when Dr. Sotor was on all that time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. He, you know, it takes 8 people working together to accomplish something.
Right.
There's not many things you can do unless you're a professional basketball player or something like that.
Yeah, or yeah, some sports player or something yeah. like that, where you need all 8 people to, in the team
yeah.
to all do their part to accomplish a task.
Except when one person falls off the stairs and so on.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right. So my question is, what do you think about, what do you think the difference in solo content in SOTOR
yeah.
is compared to the Fallout solo content?
Well, oh, that's a good question. Well, I guess it comes, so it's a similar, the quest objectives are similar. Hey, go here. You have to kill stuff on the way. Probably. You have to kill stuff when you get there, get this item, whatever. That makes sense. It's kind of a common trend across all video games. But then it comes down to the game mechanics, right? So in Fallout, you have, once you go to an area, you can quick travel straight there if once you have to go back or something like that. So it'll cut down some of the in-between travel time. Whereas I've noticed in SOTOR with, like, the taxi service, it's not the appropriate name for it, but I guess the speeder services on different planets, you can kind of do that, but you can't go immediately to a location like you can in, like, a Fallout or a Skyrim.
Right.
So it makes you walk through, you know, the ads or, you know, the random
the planet.
Enemies.
They want you to experience the planet.
Yeah, which I can appreciate for sure. But it's just a different game mechanic. And in a Skyrim or a Fallout, you don't have a set moveset like you do in SOTOR. Like, even if when you hit your level cap, you have your max level, your moves, right? Your rotation. So, It's more of like a turn-based RPG to me than like an open-ended one where you can, you could be using a bow the whole time and then all of a sudden decide you want to switch to spells and you can just level up your spells in like a Skyrim game or something like that.
Sure.
Or same thing in Fallout, you could be using energy weapons and then say, oh, fuck it, I'm going to switch to using conventional guns and shoot bullets and then level up that skill and change
sure
midway through. So it's a little different, but I like the lore is just different because it's a totally different world, you know?
Right. Well, you know, what's funny is when I asked you that question, I immediately thought of my answer.
Yeah.
And I said, what would my answer be to that? And the big difference for me between SOTOR and Skyrim
yeah.
or a game like that
yeah.
is when you wander the world in Skyrim,
yeah.
you find shit all the time.
That's true. I like
in SOTOR.
I don't know how I didn't think of that. Go ahead.
In SOTOR, there's none of that. Because what was the first thing I said to you when you started playing it?
Yeah, when
don't search anywhere because there's not any hidden shit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's datacrons, but there's 3 on an entire planet.
Right.
You know, it's not like in Fallout, I'm going to bring it back to the Fallout 3 when I was just wandering through and I got the fucking bat and I hit the guy in the head and I missed all 3 times and I died. And then I started over and I found this little box and there was a pack of cigarettes in there.
Yeah.
And then I watched
yeah.
it, and then I was like, fuck, I just died. I might as well smoke one. And then I went to the next place and I found an old bottle of Nuka-Cola that was flat, but right. I still drank it.
Yeah.
Why not, right? Because
sure.
you're in an apocalyptic world. So it brings me to the MMO where it's you go to the point, you do your thing, and then you go to the next point.
Yeah,
it's very driven. Even with side quests on top of the class story, you're still going point driven.
Go to the point. Go yeah, to the point. Go to the point.
Not, and anybody listening to this, again, if you hear this and I'm wrong, please tell me. Because tell me where I can go. Tell me a planet to go to and that there's going to be a bunch of random shit that I can go pick up
right.
that's going to benefit me without having to kill somebody for it.
Sure.
Because that's for me, that's the biggest difference between the open sandbox games versus SOTOR.
Yeah, I that's definitely a big difference. And I think it you know, I love SOTOR, obviously, because I've been playing the shit out of it and then come on here and talk about it. But the story, I find the story, I like it a lot, but it is a little more shallow because of that. Because you're not in the world as much as you are in, like, a Skyrim, for example, or a Fallout. So, like, in Fallout, every time you go somewhere, you're, like, finding stuff along the way, which just continue. Every time you find something, ooh, I found duct tape. I really need that adhesive in Fallout 4. So, like, you're finding stuff along the way. Every time you do a quest, you're looking through everything. You're looking through all the buildings. You're seeing the skeletons and how people died and why there's 17 plungers in with this skeleton.
Yes!
You know what I'm saying? That, like, and what happened to this guy when the bombs went off? And it's just little stuff that immerses you in the world, so you're in the world. Whereas, yes, SOTOR tries to immerse you in the world by not giving you as much quick travel points and stuff like that, but you're not interacting with it as much. You're still just passing through it. So the environments in SOTOR are great. It's those, all the different, like, different planets are just incredible. Nar Shaddaa is a city. Dromakas is, like, you know, Stormy City and stuff like that. It's just different. But, like, Alderaan I really liked. There's countless cities that are just gorgeous graphically. You know, even though the graphics are a little dated now, but they just, it's just a really cool environment, but you're not interacting with it as much, so it can come across as a little more shallow of an environment. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between a MMO versus, you know,
a standard RPG or like a sandboxy RPG.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. So now, I know you have never played The Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, I think I played like 5 seconds on a terrible, like, $250 laptop.
Bro, okay. So everybody was all up in their shit about the new Oblivion.
The new Elder Scrolls game?
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah. I think of it as Oblivion.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
might not be Oblivion, but...
Yeah.
So everybody was up over their shit, Elder Scrolls 6, and I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, fuck, they have Elder Scrolls 6 right now, 7, 8, 9 with Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah,
why don't you just play that? The fuck do you need to do it? And then it made me think, and that's why I wanted to talk about this tonight, because it made me start thinking about, why do people not just play the MMO?
Right.
And they want to pay the $60, and they can get the 200 hours that, like, you got out of Skyrim.
Sure.
Out of it. But you can't, you know, you play the story, and you can search for 200 hours, but then that's it.
Right.
Where in Elder Scrolls, it's never ending.
Right.
Online, I mean. Or Star Wars The Old Republic. It's never ending.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something new for you to do.
Right.
And even if you're the tip top raider in Ops and you're doing right. nightmare stuff and you're winning, you know, okay, so there may not be anything else for you to do.
Yeah, but
until the next
takes so long to do that.
Yes. But exactly. So when does that, you know, make you want to go just play solo content?
Right.
It, for me, I'd much rather spend $15 a month that has a game that's constantly changing, even though SOTOR is starting to age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but Elder Scrolls Online, if I have a choice to go buy Elder Scrolls
6, whatever it's called,
or play Elder Scrolls Online, I'm just going to get into Elder Scrolls Online because there's going to be way more content and I can be social.
Right.
I guess it comes down to me just being social.
Yeah, I think so too. Because I guess the breakdown is your story content in an MMO like that is a little bit more shallow, but there's more of it. Or a longer period of time that you can play it, if that makes sense.
Right.
But the content in like a regular sandboxy RPG, like the, you know, the next installment of the Elder Scrolls game, so the Elder Scrolls 6, that has more, it's more in depth. So, like, when you get immersed in a world, the world is sort of has more value to it. So, although you won't be playing it as long, you'll be, the immersion factor is bigger. So, I think that's kind of, like, telling of why the sandboxy RPG is a $60 one-time fee with maybe some, if you buy the DLC or whatever afterwards, but versus a subscription.
Sure.
You're paying the cheaper subscription fee for the shallower story experience, but it's going, but it needs to be a continual fee because it's going on for years and years and years and years and years after. You know, once they put those sandboxy RPGs out, that's it. Yeah. You know, so you pay a bigger fee up front. So
and they might give you a DLC a year down the road. But
yeah, then you pay $20 or $30 for it or whatever it may
be.
Right,
but it might only be 20 hours worth of content.
Right, right.
So you're never going to get that. And the same thing with SOTOR where that you have all those class stories. And they're never going to be able to do that again.
Right.
So this is my segue to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Star Wars The Old Republic, your first MMO, right?
Yeah.
Real MMO.
Yeah, first time I've ever devoted to a real MMO.
Why are MMOs a dying breed?
I think because, this is going to sound a little crackpot-a-tootie, but like millennials, as a very large group of people statistically, value higher quality or higher depth of stuff, anything that they're buying, more than sort of larger quantities. I'll give an example, right? So an MMO, and this might not directly translate, but look at craft, like beer, for example. Craft beer is exploding. Why? Because A, there's more craft beer, there's more people making craft beer, higher quality craft beer, and B, people don't like the domestic light beers as much as they used to. So like the younger generations, like people roughly my age, don't really want a Bud Light, but they'll go to Treehouse and stand in line and pay $4 a can for this beer because it's way better. You know what I mean? Does it get you... Is it cheaper to buy the other stuff? Yeah. Can you get more drunk on the other stuff? Yeah, of course. But, you know, bank drunkenness for dollar, it's way better to just buy light domestic beer. But people want the drinking experience to be better and have more value to it. You know what I mean? It tastes better. It's a, and all that stuff. So it's a deeper experience. So people... younger people are trending towards that deeper experience, and I think a sandboxy RPG can give you more of that deeper story experience, if that makes sense.
See, I thought it would be maybe, I thought, you know, that's funny you said that, because I didn't expect that as your answer. I more or less expected, to be honest with you, I expected you to say because an MMO is a commitment.
That too.
You're committed. But I guess in Destiny, you're fucking committed too.
Yeah.
In all those games.
See, like you say MMOs are a dying breed, but I don't know if they are.
Well,
World of Warcraft might be, and SOTOR might be, because it's dated, you know, getting old now. Not dated, that's not the right word. It's getting old now, but like...
They just came out, on Tuesday, they just released 8.0 expansion. Giant World of Warcraft
is still going strong. But, like, League of Legends, is that an MMO? Or that's more of a battle arena, right?
Yeah, that's a MOBA.
Yeah, so I guess not. That's not a good example.
But going on, keeping that mindset.
Yeah.
Keep it in your head and think about, like, you've played Star Wars The Old Republic now. You are committed to that game.
It is a commitment. Like, in order to do group content, like, I need to keep leveling my gear. Otherwise, I'm going to get left in the dust and not be able to do anything.
Right.
And it's never ending. Subscription fee. Yeah, so the content's never ending, but like you gotta really fully disconnect if you want to stop playing that.
Right. The sad part is, I think the way MMOs are gonna be, MMOs in the future aren't gonna be your traditional tab target like what SOTOR is.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, the Elder Scrolls kind of MMO where it's like five buttons, or even like the Division or Destiny.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I played Destiny 2 for a little while and it was.
Okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't great.
Yeah.
I didn't like the feeling of it. I tried the Division, but I guess I'm so caught up in the controls from SOTOR,
right,
that playing anything that's not a first-person shooter is tough for me right now without a controller.
Okay.
Because I'm so used to the PC controls.
Yeah, when you have a third-person game that's not SOTOR controls, it feels wrong.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
You know, it's just, I guess it's just, I've been playing too much SOTOR.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.